Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show. So first time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I see this.
Let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Welcome, Survivor fans. And before we start, I want to say happy birthday to Survivor Dawson and to our Rad Reality family member, Mr. Louis Stravato from The Amazing Race. Thank you all for being here with us tonight on this November 15th, 2012, on the Rad Reality Show Network. Tonight we're featuring our Survivor Philippines Roundtable Show, hosted by none other than Mr. Travis Sampson, also known as Bubba from Survivor Vanuatu. The voices you'll hear on air with us, with him, are myself, Cherry Garcia. I'll be co-hosting, and so will Mr. Paul from Minnesota. He's also our clip master. He creates all of our audio clips for all of our shows. How are you tonight, Paul, up there in Minnesota?
Voice, this is Paul.
Paul in Minnesota.
I'm doing well. This is the other voice that Jerry mentioned. I am doing really well, and you and I both experienced a big temperature drop a few days ago, and it looks like that has reached the East Coast, because Boom Boom Ben was mentioning how cold it was. We actually warmed up a bit the last couple of days. Did it do that as well in St. Louis?
It's not all that warm here, I gotta say. I mean, we're getting down in the 20s at night.
I mean, comparatively, and I'm talking about the, well, you never
compared
get up
compared to what, Paul? Compared to what?
Well, compared to what it was like on Monday for you, when it dropped from 80 down to,
was 48.
Right. And like I said, yeah, you don't know how warm it gets because you don't get up during the day. But
thank you, Paul.
It's a true statement. You got to fess up to it. You got to fess up.
Well, we do keep a different schedule because my husband works nights.
Exactly.
So that I will admit to. But we do have the host of our show coming up in just a moment, but that gives me the opportunity to play a very fun clip that gets us all in the mood to bring him up live. So here we go.
Bubba shot
out the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Well, he shot the jukebox. Stopped with a one shot. Bubba shot the jukebox
last night.
Bubba, thank you so very much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Wonderful. How's the weather over there where you are?
It's cold. It's about 36 right now.
Yeah, it's been getting down in the 20s here at night. And our forecasters here on the news are doing this little battle thing where they're all predicting the three winter months, you know, like December, January, and February. And, you know, they do their winter forecast. And one of them did it last night. One of them's doing it tonight. And they're all predicting it to be a somewhat colder winter. We had a very, very mild winter last year. Like, it was the fourth mildest winter ever last year. And so this year they're predicting it to be much colder, below normal temperatures here in St. Louis. They're predicting more than double the snow that we had last year. Of course, we had very little snow, and we only had like 6 inches of snow all winter last year because of the warmer temperatures. And so they're saying that we're going to get at least 16 inches of snow, if not more, this winter, and below normal temperatures.
Wait a minute. 15, like in 1.5 or 5.0?
1.6. 16 inches of snow.
Oh, come on, you wimps down south. Holy cow, come on.
Yeah, you need to move up north.
Hey,
you get to show
Bubba, what's eastern Tennessee like in comparison to the rest of the state? Is it normally a bit cooler in that part of the state?
Well, what it is, you know, when you get in this, when you're around the Appalachian Mountains, it depends. You can get a lot of snow if it gets in within, you know, the mountain range or whatnot, but a lot of times, you know, when you have these big, you know, storms come through, the clouds will knock off of it, and it's on higher elevations, you'll get the big snowstorms and stuff like that. But, you know, where we're at and stuff like that, you don't get quite as much, so no. But now, if she wants to shove a little bit of that global warming, she needs to go up north.
Well, We've also had some mild winter weather here up in Minnesota the last few years as well, and
we call a freaking storm.
I know, but everything is you know comparative. Obviously, we've got somebody in our chat room that said I had to wear pants today down in Florida. Poor me. So I mean, you know,
I'm not a winter person. If my husband didn't have a great job here in St. Louis, I'd be saying, honey, let's pack the bags and move to Arizona or, you know, someplace
Arizona
south.
Arizona is wonderful.
Yeah, I would want to move to someplace where it's nice and warm year-round and
a
I didn't have to worry
heat.
About snow. You know?
Yeah, a good dry heat.
Right, you know, exactly.
That's humidity.
That's what I could definitely take is a climate like that.
Yeah, because you know, the cold weather kills my joints.
Me too. So I have a lot of those kind of issues. And St. Louis is not good for that kind of thing. We have a lot of humidity. We're right on the Mississippi River and a lot of humidity. The weather changes here on a dime. If you don't like the weather, all you have to do is just wait an hour and it will change, you know. And it's just crazy here. You never know
okay,
what's going to happen. So
I can't wait any longer, Bubba. I'm not patient enough. You mentioned a long time ago, several weeks ago, that they even voted differently one, you know, on the show. This was the week, wasn't it? This was the
week.
Oh,
man, Paul, baby, you're on it. You're on it. I've always said you're a student of the game. I know where you're going with this.
I'm sorry, Jerry. I couldn't hold myself back. Oh, me.
Yeah, I'm seeing it, too. I'm seeing it, too.
So you figured out who made the deal to the final two. Because they pretty much came right out and kind of said it. One of them, you know, said, you know, Blank is my closest ally. And then the other person in the same episode last week made a comment, or the week before last, that, you know, they wouldn't mind voting them out or whatnot and was playing that card.
Right.
And then come up in this episode and talk about that they were tied. So it's, you know,
well,
it's working out, but, you know.
But there's a third member, and I was getting a little feeling of a possible third member near the start of the show. It was a good episode. I think, you know, it wasn't the crazy type of tribal like last week was, but there was a lot going on in this episode with a lot of different people, and certainly the reward challenge was quite moving and fun to see as well. I mean, overall, it was from start to finish a really good episode. What do you guys think?
I think it was a very good episode.
I'm loving this season. I am enjoying this season more than I have enjoyed Survivor in so long.
Yes,
I am just loving this season.
And I think one of the things about this episode that I liked best was Pinder is playing his butt off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And he finally...
Scoop and Pinder both, they both are playing.
He finally realized the way to get to Lisa is roll over on your back and show her your belly. You know, just be vulnerable and tell her and speak to her and, you know, just be yourself. You don't have to put a big dog and pony show out there for her. Just be yourself, and, you know, that's why they're good friends. I mean, that's just, you know.
Yep.
I thought that was great.
Yep.
It's
really been a great show. They started off showing Lisa back when in the early days when she was the outcast. And
yes.
Her sitting out there crying and how vulnerable she was and how she wasn't fitting in. And then after the merge, when, you know, everything was, you know, so totally, totally different. And her, you know, being with Scoop and Penner, and, you know, she was really becoming a stronger, stronger player. And then it showed Kent and him wanting Penner out so bad. Then it went to the crazy tribal council where everything just sort of went crazy. And Malcolm saying that Lisa threw him under the bus, and Lisa talking about making her big move in the game. And from there, it went into being
back at night at the
camp after that tribal council that was just crazy. And they're walking back, and Abby walks up and blames Scoopin' and says, thanks, Mike. That was lovely, you know, and blames Scoopin' for voting for her. And Scoop said, I didn't vote for you. And Penner says, I did. It was me. I voted for you. I was PO'd. And she said, you did it? And he said, yeah. He says, there was some plan B out there I wasn't part of, you know, and I was pissed. And so, you know, Penner had his say, and eventually Carter and Penner talked, and they figured out all the votes. And Penner was like, you know, was it my vote that you know, changed everything? Well, they figured out that even if Penner wouldn't have voted for Abby, and he would have voted
Pete,
it would have just made a tie. So it was just as well. But Penner just really felt left out. He was upset. And then they go from there into the challenge. This was a reward challenge.
you just jumped over one of the most neat moments early on in the show with Lisa and Penner on the beach and bringing her to tears, if they were real tears. I mean, she is an actor, but...
Yeah, Penner and Lisa chatted, and they talked about... Go ahead, Paul.
No, I was just going to say he...
Go ahead.
He basically, Penner mentioned everything that Lisa probably had to deal with growing up in the business. And she kind of asked, you know, how would you know that? He says, because I'm in that business too. And he basically had empathy for what she had to deal with and how she had to act, you know, and be somebody that was always funny, always pretty, always, you know, she had to have that role, and it must have been awfully hard. And he basically really touched her heart because he was like the first one, at least that we had seen, that really recognized and understood what she had gone through in her life.
And it did touch her heart. It really did. And I think that was, and we'll get to that later, much later, but when she said what she said at the final tribal tonight, I think that was part of what she said at the final tribal. I think this 39 days is really going to change Lisa. And
it did me.
I agree. It's been a touching show. It's been exciting.
You know, people asked me, they said, you know, they always want to know, you know, what changed about you. Everybody wants to know because it is life-changing. You know, and there's been so many episodes of Survivor. And everybody takes something away. It's going to change it. And then you get back in the real world, and a lot of things you'll go back to the way you were, but you still have a sense, you know, of what you took away from it. And a lot of times people ask me all the time, because everybody kind of has the same answer when they ask that. But I, you know, a lot of people kind of step back, especially people who don't know my beliefs. But what I learned from that show is people can take your house, they can take your cars, they can take your family, you know, they can take everything away from you, but they can't take Jesus. That's what I learned. You know, when the Bible says hide the scripture in your heart, that's the only thing I had to cling to when I was playing that game, because it was just, you have nothing. But that was
That's me. Really touching. That was really touching, Bubba. And I know you have very, very deep-seated beliefs, and I've seen a lot of your posts, and I've followed a lot of them, and a lot of your posts have really touched my heart. And
well, I appreciate
some
that.
Of the stories that you've brought to our show have really touched my heart, and I can't thank you enough for sharing them with us, because that's what we want to hear. That's what Survivor means, is what it touches, what it does to people, and what we can hear from somebody who's been out there, and how it touched your heart. And you know, we can hear how much it really did mean to you and touch your heart. And you know, you see that all the materialistic things now don't mean so much, because you were out there without them.
Right.
And
heck, I tell you, on one of the shows or something like that, and we may do this later on, something like that, really put in perspective the state of mind that one is in. It's like even now I can only describe, and even with me being out of the game for 8 years, it wasn't, you couldn't really accurately tell how you felt. But I tell you what, later on or whatnot, maybe, you know, on our last show for this season or something like that, I might go through some letters. Now, I wasn't able to mail them to my wife. I just sat down and wrote her letters just to vent because I couldn't send them to her. I just had to give them to her when I got home, you know. But I'll read one of those, and it'll just kind of state what kind of state of mind you're in. I mean, it's like you're completely detoxed, physically and mentally. I mean, completely. I mean, you it's a whole different world when mentally and physically you are completely detoxed.
You're down to your bare bones soul out there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you see things for what they are. I mean, for instance, when I came back, and everybody was just, when you come back into reality, when you have to go through a debriefing and things, they have you talk to a psychiatrist and things, because you're just pretty much say what's on your mind or whatnot. And also, they have to get you adapted back to, like for us, they have to kind of get you adapted back to food. You know, we talked about this, you know, I won't go back into this, but, you know, I told you about the swimming trunks deal.
Right.
But also, when I got back, I said, I want to go to Outback Steakhouse. That is my favorite restaurant. I love Outback. And when I got back and I bit into that steak, it was so salty. I could not eat it. I sent it back.
Oh, you're kidding.
I sent it back and then got another one, and it was still, I said, what is it? And it didn't dawn on me till I got the second one that I was so accustomed to it tasting like that, that that's what I enjoyed. But when you're completely detoxed and you put that in your mouth, it's like the hide on your tongue wants to roll back, you know.
You haven't had any seasonings for so long.
Right.
You haven't had any sodium, anything for so long.
Nothing.
Oh, my gosh.
Everything we ate was in its natural sense. And, you know, on this episode, they got the beans and the rice and, you know, it's just...
I enjoyed when they went, you know, on the reward challenge, when they went and saw all the kids, and it was so cute. But the one thing that popped into my head, Bubba, was, oh, my God, they did all this fun stuff with the kids before they ate. I mean, I think I might have been wanting to eat before I did that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'll tell you, from experience, I'll tell you why they played with the kids first. Because after you eat, see, they've been out there, how many days have they been out there now?
24, 25 now.
Okay, you've been out there 24, 25 days. And now all of a sudden, now maybe the rice, the beans will work on, but you're putting that greasy food and your body's going to reject it.
It's not going to be pretty.
Yeah. They're going to have a bad case of explosions after they eat. They wouldn't have time to play with them kids. The only thing they could do to play with them kids is play hide and go seek. And I assure you, them kids wouldn't want to find them when they're as
high. Oh, my goodness.
But that's why they played before they ate.
We haven't even talked about the challenge yet. They had to run through muddy water, over an A-frame, into a pit of rice. And then into this other pit of mud and look for a bag of balls, and then crawl through
the rice.
And then drop the balls off on a table, and the next person goes. Now, the big thing that happened here on this particular challenge is that, first of all, I'll mention the teams. The two teams were Scoopin' Artists, Lisa and Pete, against Penner, Carter, Denise, and Malcolm.
Wait a minute.
You left
somebody out.
Well, Abby did not play. Abby did not get picked, and she had no shot at any reward. She was sitting out, and she couldn't go on the reward no matter what.
Did they start that this year? If you sit out, you don't get to take part of the reward. I didn't know if they just started that just especially for her or what.
I was sitting there wondering if Jeff would say, okay, winning team, do you want to bring out, you know, something like that, because that sometimes happens for the person sitting out. There's some way that they may or may not. I think one time in one season, the person sitting out could say, okay, I'm betting on Scoopin's team. I think they're going to win. If they win, then I get to go. That kind of thing has happened. But yeah. I just thought it was funny in a schoolyard pick that nobody wanted to pick Abby, and she kind of looked like she was over there pouting.
When isn't she pouting?
That's true.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's God.
Anyway, so the two returnees were leading their teams out on the first go round on this challenge, and Scoopin' and Penner just, you know, they took out. And Penner had a strategy going. When he made it to the pit, the mud pit where the balls were all buried, he stopped and he dug out all of the bags of balls for his entire team instead of just digging out the one bag for himself. He dug them all out and threw them all on top of the mud in the corner. So that when the rest of his team came through, all they had to do was just reach over and grab the bag and carry on.
Which was brilliant. Because now your teammate kind of ain't going to be looking in the same spot in which you already found one.
Right.
Yeah,
that was a brilliant move.
I thought of it as a Scoopin' move after when Scoopin' did that ball thing on the platform where they – he tossed it up in the air and knocked the other person's down. I thought that was a brilliant move, and Penner matched it with what he did. I thought that shows experience, you know?
Right. Yep. It shows these guys have been there and done this before, and they can think about the moves that will get them ahead in these challenges. And, you know, they think ahead on these games and think, what can I do in this particular challenge that will get my team through this challenge a little bit faster? And Penner thought of it. He pulled it off, and it got his team to the win. And so when he did that, the rest of his team basically just had to run, you know, through the mud and then over the A-frame and through the rice, and they grabbed their ball, you know, bag of balls and threw them on the table, and the next person went, and they all made it through fast where the other team had to stop and dig for balls.
Right.
The bag
and here's
of balls.
I kept hoping for, Cherry and Bubba, when he did that and Jeff calls it out saying that may have been a great move, I was kind of thinking, I wonder if when Lisa, but she was so tired, that I thought, I wonder when Lisa gets to the mud pit, whether she might search for the bags too. And I wasn't surprised she didn't, because she really looked like she was struggling and it was hard for her. But then Pete comes afterwards, and I thought, well, maybe Pete will dig the fourth bag up, so, you know, when Artis follows. And none of them did it. And I thought,
Well. I know. I was thinking the same thing you were. Were you thinking that, Bubba?
Yes.
That they might follow suit?
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, you got to think, though, when you're out there and you're, of course, I keep thinking back to my season, thinking, when you have no food, you don't think clearly. But, my God, they've had beans and rice. They've had their carbs. When you go a long time without carbs and stuff like that, with any kind whatsoever, whether good, bad, whatever, you know, your brain don't work the same, you know, and it's just, I don't know. But, man, they've had all that, so they should have thought of that.
So the Penner, Carter, Denise, and Malcolm team wins. Penner's strategy paid off. And so they got to go to the village and deliver much-needed school supplies and a little joy in the way of toys to this village, and then the village in turn would be cooking them a beautiful feast. Basically a once-in-a-lifetime experience. As they're heading to the village, little kids run out and just grab them by the hand and lead them into the village, and it was absolutely adorable to see these kids.
Well, who was it said, maybe it was Penner, saying these had to be the happiest children I've ever seen.
I know. They were so cute.
And so grateful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like even our season, in, you know, Chris was talking about this, you know, I got to interact with some of the children and stuff, but it wasn't on the show. But they were so grateful. You know, it's like, well, the other day I posted on my Facebook, I went to pick my son up, Gabriel, at wrestling. And this girl was going on and on, just really giving her parents down the road, saying they sucked and everything, talking bad about her parents, saying they wouldn't get her anything she wanted. And then I looked over, and I couldn't help myself. I had to speak up, and I said, I'm just guessing they got you that iPhone. And she just walked off, you know. But you go here, and if you just spend time with the children, they're so grateful. Anything you do, they're grateful. You know, and it's like I tell my boys, I said, anytime you show appreciation, if I do something to you, I said, if you show thank you and show appreciation, I'll continue to do it. I'll give you the world if you show appreciation. You know, and appreciation is not just saying thank you, but if I take the time to fix up or whatnot, take the time to pick up your plate, rinse it out, and put it in the dishwasher. That's simple. You know, show me.
And the other part, Bubba, is those that do show appreciation, they will pay it forward.
Excellent.
You know?
Yep.
They will also try to give to others.
And what really also touched my heart about that portion of the show was Malcolm remembering him going back and teaching to kids in Micronesia and thinking about his past year serving, you know, drinks to pretty girls in bars and saying, you know, this doesn't compare to serving drinks to pretty girls in bars. You know, I so much love, you know, dealing with these beautiful children so much more. What was I thinking, you know?
Yeah.
And it really touched his heart, and I think it touched all of ours, too, to see him.
I had not known that. I had not known that about him, and that I had written that down as well as a memorable moment of the show, Terry, when he talked about that he had taught elementary school in Micronesia and was, you know, reevaluating whether he might want to do that, something like that again. I mean,
go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry, Paul.
No, I that was just a really moving time, is all that's concerned.
Right. And I really enjoy that is because so much you take, and when I know it sounds like an old cliche, you know, you take things away from this so much more than $1 million. But when he was talking about that with his children and stuff, it's like I could really relate what he was saying, you know, because when I left, I was one way. When I come back, I was different. It's like now, you know, if the boys spilt Kool-Aid on the couch or whatnot, hey, thank the Lord they're here to spill it.
Yep.
You know, because when they're not around and it's just you're out there by yourself on that island, you think, man, what I wouldn't do just to hear the boys fuss so I can go out and break it up. You know what I mean? If Cable rode his bike into my car because he didn't, you know, go to the cul-de-sac and see, instead he drove it in the driveway or whatnot or something like that. Sometimes I get mad, you know, but now I look at it, it's just metal and paint. It can be replaced. But the time that, you know, your kids spend with you and stuff like that, hold fast, it don't last for long.
Yeah.
So when he was talking about that, that made me think back. And I thought, man, that's a life-changing moment right there that he is never going to forget.
You know, we oftentimes watch Survivor, we watch the strategy, we watch who wins, you know, competitions, we watch. There is so much more on that show to appreciate, and this was one of those moments. And you talked about life-changing type of moments. That was kind of an awakening, if you will, for Malcolm, you know, to go back to those days and to look at things in a different way. And that's what you said as well in your experience. It was life-changing, and we need to remember those parts of this reality show, that it's not just the games and the competitions and the strategy and all this. There's much, much more.
You know, Bubba, last night we had the Hance family reunion on here last night, and not last night, on Tuesday night, and Sean Hance happened to talk about him going out and seeing Brandon for the first time. He did the family visit, and he talked about how, you know, Survivor's the real deal. He said he couldn't believe the conditions that he saw Brandon living in and what Brandon looked like and how, you know, all the Survivors smelled. And he said it's the real deal. These guys aren't, like, leaving at night and going and living in a hotel room and, you know, just making the show look, you know, a certain way. He says, this is the real deal. They're living out here on, you know, this island, living off of barely nothing. You know, this Survivor's the real deal. And I think he talked about how his mouth dropped. He was literally in shock when he saw Brandon for the first time, when he did his family visit out there.
Who was going to
believe the conditions and what Brandon looked like?
Who was going to be your family member or your significant person? Because every Survivor, when they go on the show, probably prearranges that, correct, Bubba?
Absolutely. Yeah, mine was definitely my wife.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there was no second thought. It was definitely my wife. You know, I mean, it's just you know, there's no other person I'd rather see. You know, my wife and my kids. And,
were you able
you know,
to get a letter or anything from your wife while you were there?
No, nothing. Nothing. And I'm real family oriented, and it was just, oh man, it was just murder. But you know, it's just like you think of things when you're out there on the island, like you just talk to the air and you hope the wind just carries your message to her or something, you know, just anything. You're just thinking anything. And a lot of times I'd look up at the moon and think, you know, we're under the same moon.
Mm.
So she didn't seem so far away. You know, just little things. You just hold fast those sounds. And you just, you know, just like, I don't know, you just squeeze the most out of every moment because, you know, you miss your family so bad. So by far, yeah, my wife would definitely, she was going to be my visitor.
Oh, my gosh, that has to be so hard.
The other cute part at the village visit was Penner talking to the kids and tells them, my name is Jonathan. In my country, Jonathan is normal, and they started calling him normal.
I know.
Yeah.
Normal?
kind of.
But then they switched to talking about a little bit of game time once they started eating. And Carter said, the line has been drawn in the sand. It's the former Tandang against everyone else.
Yeah.
But they made a mockery of Scoopin' and Lisa last night. And so they kind of started talking about, you know, trying to get Lisa and Scoopin' to, you know, jump ship and come with them. And then back at the
beach,
Abby started talking to Lisa.
Oh, my God.
And
Let me just
Lisa
interrupt
was hoping,
because just before that conversation, they had Pete on there, and Pete says, Lisa has no clue. And every time I hear some comment like that towards Lisa now, I just go, oh, come on. She has the real thing. And then pick it up there, because that was good what Abby said.
Abby starts talking to Lisa about how she needs to stop being a double agent and how she's just gullible and naive. Then they went to a cameo for Artis, and Artis says, Abby thinks she knows so much about people. I don't know who told her that, but
she just needs to shut up.
She just needs to shut up. And
but let me tell you, if they're smart, they're going to keep her in the game. You know, I know.
I understand that, but I just.
I know. As a fan, I'm done. You know, it's like. You know, that's why they got that mute button on that controller. Every time she's open, about boop, mute. But, you know, from the game standpoint, oh, man, I definitely take her to the end. I mean, but.
Yeah, they still have that evil group that they call, you know. I don't see Artis as much as Pete and Abby. I think Abby's at the top of the list, and Pete not too far behind, and Artis there, and they just keep looking at that threesome. I think almost any one of those three could pick to take to the maybe not so much Pete, I don't know. But you're
totally
right.
Off. This is totally off subject. We'll go right back to this. I just felt a phantom buzz. You know how you carry your phone all the time? And I reached down to get my phone, and I'm talking on it. All right, back to the show. Anyways, just sharing it. It's just weird. I'm going on very little sleep, if that's what you're wondering, but anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We go to the immunity challenge, and that consists of one long paddle on a stand, and it has six holes and six balls. And whoever gets the six balls into the six holes the fastest wins immunity. And a 1-in-8 shot at the $1 million. So it doesn't appear, at least through editing, that this challenge takes very long. Scoopin' wins immunity, and he seemed to do really well at this challenge. I was shocked. He really knocked this one out of the park.
I think it's the type of, I've done little things like that before, and it is the, you know, Jeff says it's a learning curve, but once you get it going, it's the type of thing that I think you can, you know, continue to do. And Pete was right, you know, like one behind him until all about three or four of his balls fell off the paddle. But
and then once he started knocking them off, then it was just like they all started rolling off, and he was just...
Yeah, like dominoes.
Yep.
The other thing I noticed in watching that challenge is, holy crap, look at Scoopin's right shoulder. It's all scraped up, and I'm thinking, well, maybe he scraped that up in the reward challenge. But actually later on at Tribal, I still noticed that he had his right sleeve on his T-shirt pulled up, and you could see the glistening salve that was on it. Do they provide that kind of thing to them, salve, to put on, you know, like scrapes like that, Bubba?
Well, I guess they were willing to give you a knee brace. Oh, my God. You know, it's like before our show, Mark Burnett said, you will suffer. And we suffered. And now I see, you know, they get the salve, the knee braces, the towels. It's, oh, God, give me a break.
The pre-cut.
I know how to push Bubba's buttons, don't I, Terry?
That's it.
They get the pre-cut bamboo, the boat ride to their new beach. It's crazy.
Oh, gosh, what is it, a day spa out there?
I'm telling you, Bubba, at least this season they didn't have the Sears toolbox waiting for them.
Oh, yeah.
That one just killed me. I was like, really? On Survivor?
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, here's one thing. One of the rewards you got was a spear to catch fish with.
Right.
I actually found one.
You're kidding me.
I found one that the Islanders had made, and I found it. And I thought, oh, man, I was so excited. I showed it, and the producers took it away from me.
I knew you were going to say that. Why does that rip my heart out?
Oh, they took it away from me. And I could have, you know, used that to be, you know, become stronger in the women's tribe. I found it over there. I said, man, look. And they had used it, and it, you know, but the women hadn't used it. But the Islanders had used it, and I guess when they gathered up their stuff, they left it behind. And it had been there for a while, you know, because it was an old one. And I picked it, and they took it away from me. They said, nope, you can't have that.
Wow, that had to
Yeah, it took the wind out of my sails.
I bet it did.
But
oh, my
God. Anyway, you know, I love that Scoopin won it. He said that's the first one, kind of like Penner the last time. It's his first thing he'd won, you know, immunity. And Scoop says, you know, been 12 years that he'd been waiting to win something like that. But he just seemed so happy, and I was happy for him. By the way, we told you, Bubba, that we did this show with the Hans boys on Tuesday. We did find out, in fact, Jerry got some live text questions because Scoopin couldn't come on the show as much as he'd like to. He's fearful of, you know, CBS.
Well, he's
and all
still
that
under lockdown.
Right. Yeah. It's still airing, so he can't, If it's still airing, they don't like for you to do.
Yeah, I talked to him that night, and he gave me a few three questions to ask them. And, one of his questions nearly caused a Hans fight on air. It was pretty crazy, but we had a lot of fun. It was a fun show. But getting back to Survivor, when they got back to camp after the immunity challenge, Penner was very worried that he could be back up to, you know, for being voted out. And so he had some work to do. And, you know, everybody started talking. And it was basically Denise that came up with the plan to put the artist's name in. And everybody went with it, and so
it was. And it was based, Cherry, it was based on wondering about Abby and her hidden immunity idol, and wondering if she would be somebody that would actually hand that over to one of her allies. And basically, I think Denise felt that of the two, Carter and Artis, you know, in that little threesome, that Artis would be less likely, that Abby would be less likely to hand it over to him. If I understood that, I think that's the way it was going, right?
Hmm.
Anyway, I did want to mention, prior to Denise coming up with this, a very funny moment with Abby, with Scoopin' lying on the ground next to Tenor, and she's trying to break open a coconut.
Oh, I know.
With a machete.
And the coconut flies away and rolls and hits Scoopin' directly on his head. The guy is just cursed.
Oh, absolutely.
I couldn't believe that one.
And you talk about Scoopin' reminding me of this, but if anybody knows this, you may know her. But is Michael Scoopin' the only person that's been invited back to play that never made the merge?
Wow.
Wow, that's a great question.
I think he may have been.
Yeah.
That is a good question, though. My sense is that well, no. I mean, you got to look at Russell. Did Russell, in his season, you know, he was invited back this season for being medically eliminated. Did he make the merge? I don't recall.
I don't know.
On his
we'll
season.
Have to look into that. When we come back, we'll have to see if we can have the answer for that for you, Bubba.
Somebody in the chat room might be able to check that out, because that's you know.
Well, Ben, Boom Boom Ben, Boom Boom Room said that, and what Penner, this is Penner's third time, and his second time he did not make the merge, but.
Dog says Russell Swan.
Yeah, well, I was thinking somebody that never made that, you know, see, is playing third time crap. I just, you know, but I'm not going to go there. But anyway, you know, it's just, I was wondering, you know, it's the first time he played it, he didn't make the merge. And was he the only one, and the first time he didn't play it, that the second time he, you know, that someone comes back, I didn't know if he was the only one that didn't make the merge. He got to come back a second time.
Russell, somebody in the chat room is saying, no, Russell was injured right before the merge also.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that's really interesting that it has to be, you know, Russell didn't make it to this merge, so he, again, didn't make it to the merge where, you know, Scoop did make it to the merge in this season. So
yeah.
Russell never has made it to a merge. Scoop did make it to the merge in this season. And you can tell how much he elated in making it to the merge. He was so thrilled and appreciated that merge so much. He was just so happy to make it to the day past, you know, where he got medevaced out, and then that was the day that they made the, you know, they went to merge. And he was so thrilled, so happy, you know, that he was merging with the other tribe, and he was still there. He was involved with the merge. He was involved with being able to drink, you know, the wine and get to have the feast and just partake in the festivity of it all and just take it all in. You know, he was just thrilled about it. He loved it. So to see him enjoy it like he did, it was fun to watch him just take it all in.
The strategy talk Denise started and brought up Artis, and then we got strategy between Penner and Lisa, where Penner says, "I'm a storyteller," you know, and
And he asked, "You know, what's the story going to be about this survivor?"
Right.
And once again, I think he really sort of touched Lisa. And got her really thinking deeply about her life.
The diary room or the confessional or whatever we call them on Survivor. And after that conversation, she seemed to be, you know, genuinely torn and wanting to be loyal, but, you know, wondering. And then at one point, then Scoopin' and Lisa are then talking, and she's asking his advice. And this is when I wrote down, Bubba, on my notes. When that conversation was going on, I said, this would be the perfect time for Scoopin' and Lisa to split their votes.
Yeah, well, like I said, they pretty much let the cat out of the bag, you know, as is, you know. But that's when, you know, but, you know, when Amber comes up and says, it's Amber, what is it?
Abby.
Is that whiny girl, Abby?
That whiny girl.
Yeah. Comes up. So, well, I've muted her so many times. I've just, you know. But when she comes up and says, you know, for next week's episode, but you started with us. You know, like, she's whining. I'm thinking, no, honey, he didn't. So, he was already in with Lisa. I mean, they got off to the side, made a truth alliance, and they don't vote the same and everything else. And, you know, I thought it was strategically genius on Lisa's part when she would go to these confessionals.
Right, because she was in a much
she was considering voting him out, when she never did.
She was in a much more vulnerable spot, you know, and for her to vote along with these other, you know, other tribal members, when they kept doubting her, you know, I mean, that was, you know, at the tribal, Cherry, you were about ready to talk about the tribal, so maybe I'll just let you talk about your notes, because that's...
Well, I didn't write a whole lot of notes about tribal. We can all just talk about it. But Jeff started off asking about what went down after last tribal, and Lisa talked about how she was received with grace and receptiveness. She talked about how, you know, she tried to make the big move, and how when the poo-poo hit the fan, the fan seemed to turn around and blow it all on her, and it seemed to be that it was the other tribe that seemed to show her the grace and receptiveness more so
Jeff
than
Probst,
her own tribe.
Right. I think Jeff Probst kind of brought that part up about, you know, clarifying, Lisa, would you clarify, so your fellow tribe members show grace, you know, and Lisa says, no, it's more from the others. And then she started, and Jeff
Abby
asked,
Abby had that
about,
look on her face, that look.
He asked Lisa something about what is the difference or something, and Lisa kind of says something about maturity, and the camera shoots over at Abby's face. You could tell that Abby took that as a shot at her. And
well, she's thin, dude. She's going to take anything as a shot at her.
Yes, that's true. And then a little bit later on in the tribal, Abby says, you know, that she's still not sure about Lisa's loyalty, and the camera pans to Penner, and he just goes, wow, I can't believe she said that, you know. And it was just perfect, you know. Now Lisa voting along with those people, along with Abby and her little group, it's another thing to say, see, you ought to be able to trust me. I voted with you.
Right. But let me tell you something. There was a stroke of genius that we passed over. Now, Penner, who I think is great at this game, he saw that by being vulnerable and being his true self, when he opened up to Lisa and understanding her, that's the man right there.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he exposed. But when he done this move, it was all game. Now, anybody out there that's thinking about putting in for Survivor that wants a little tidbit of information that would help you in this game, that will project you in this game, here's a rule of thumb. If a person has morals, okay, if they're that good person, stuff like that, if you play the card like he played it, like I'm telling, like I'm a story, how do they say, how, he's trying to create in this person's mind who has morals, how is the world going to see you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they going to see you as the person that helped the bad guys win? Do you think people would want to see them win? You know, that was genius. And I sit there and it's like, bravo. When I saw it, I thought that was strategic genius, because now you get in thinking, well, what is people? Because when you play a game, the last thing you need to care about is what people think. You know?
Yeah,
how you're going to be portrayed on TV or what.
We can look at some past Survivor contestants that have, you know, done something on the show that they will never live down and that they always are targeted as, and it, they never are able to shake it, or they have a hard time shaking it. And
right.
To plant that seed and that story, and or, you know, what's your story going to be from the fans from here on out, is huge, especially if somebody has been a fan of Survivor for any length of time.
Right.
Absolutely. And then when Jeff asked that question and he asked Abby, well, who do you think you might have... Who do you think you might question from your team? Abby opens her big mouth again and says, well, I'm not so sure about Lisa.
Yeah.
And you could just see Artis, you know, fuming again because there she goes, opening her mouth again, you know. And Artis has talked so much about Abby just needing to keep her mouth shut. It's going to hurt them. It's going to, you know, be the end of them. And she opens her mouth up at Tribal Council against Lisa, who's, you know, talked nothing but loyalty to Tan Dang. And what happens? But it backfires on them, and I think for sure now Lisa is going to wind up going to the other side, and I hope she does. I certainly hope that she makes her and Scoopin' both say, see ya, and they join forces with Penner, and Dog in the chat room made a great point in saying that the five who voted out Artis will need Lisa's vote to split the vote against Abby and Pete to flush out the idol next week. Mm-hmm. So.
And then we also saw in the upcoming clips for next week, Denise, I really like some of the comments directed towards Abby, I guess. You love to hate her, I guess, but Denise says something that about Abby. That selfish mess, Abby, will never give up her hidden immunity.
Yes.
Yeah, anyway.
So we've had somebody on hold that wants to talk about Survivor. We've got a caller, and I'm going to bring her up right now. She's been waiting for quite
some time. And while
you
do, I also wanted to mention, anybody catch the wink between Denise and RC at Tribal?
Oh, my goodness. They were enjoying this Tribal Council so much. Kansas, thank you for holding so much. Thank you for calling into the Rad Reality Show tonight. How are you, dear?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for picking me up. And hello, Bubba. I get to talk to you for the first time.
Hey, hello.
This is Miss
Kansas. I just have to tell you, I am enjoying you so much, Bubba. I've been listening, you know, to the podcast early in the morning the next day, and I've been listening to the shows. And you're wonderful. I love your stories. You crack me up. I just enjoy it so much.
Well, thank you very much.
Well,
did you have a question for tonight, Kansas?
Pardon me, babe?
Did you have a question?
I just love this season. Yeah, I have to. I'm in a lot of agreement. So many things that have been said with you guys, Bubba. I remember something you said a few weeks ago about how you're not really into, you know, people coming back into the show, but you like
right.
it this year. Yeah, and I'm in agreement with you on that too. But I'll tell you what, I'm loving this, just like you, Cherry. This is one of the greatest seasons ever. I'm just loving
and
it so much.
Yeah, when we started this show, like I said, I'm not into bringing people back. And
right.
I've went a lot of seasons I haven't watched. But
yes.
when I saw Michael Scoopin was going to be in it, so I thought, oh, me and Michael's friends, I'm going to check this one out. So
mm-hmm.
we done a charity, Give Kids the World, and Kissimmee, Florida. So we done it, and we started talking and stuff like that, and I thought, oh, man, I definitely got to watch this, because he let me know some tidbits about the show. And that's why I kept telling everybody, you want to watch this season. It's going to be a great season, you know.
Oh, it is.
And I think.
And
I've got to
be honest with you guys. I knew that when you were talking about, you know, the alliance that nobody knows about, I knew it was Lisa and Michael. I knew it. I knew
yeah.
it from the get-go, you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but they made that a lot to go to the end. And I think if Lisa's smart, she'll pick up Bender. And so
I
got
think
three,
so too.
Three at the
I
end.
I would love to
she's
see
sitting
those
in between
three
them two. They'll give it to
that
her.
That would be great. That'd be phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'm loving how she's playing, you guys. I loved her. I'll tell you. I can't believe that a lot of these people don't know who she is.
I know.
It's crazy. You know, because there's at least if you're 40, you know,
know.
From 40
it's
on, you should know who she is.
That shows our age, I guess, huh, Kansas?
Well, I couldn't believe
well, I mean,
Jeff didn't know
that
she
was.
That was
one of my favorite kiddie shows, and I adored Blair Warner on the show as a kid. But I'll tell you what, I love Lisa Welchel as a human
oh,
being.
Oh, yes. I was a big
she
Blair
and
Tootie fan.
She is the real deal, man.
I agree
I'm
with you,
fan.
Bubba. I can't believe that Jeff didn't know who she was either.
Honestly.
I guess
Denise,
maybe he was
Denise
just out playing
about
ball
40?
All the time.
Isn't Denise at least 40? Because
she
should know her,
to
too. She should know her.
I
she
yeah.
looks exactly the same.
I know.
So, Kansas, what about some of the other people left on Survivor? Are you?
Oh, let's talk. Up to Abby.
Her name is Abby.
I want her gone, you guys. That girl. Oh. Can't stand Abby. Yuck. But Denise and Malcolm, man, they are just phenomenal.
Yeah. Denise is, to me, she is one of the stronger ones. Malcolm is right there with her. I'm with you on that.
Fabulous.
And you having listened to Bubba's previous shows, he's said it
yes.
over and over again, you can understand his strategy and logic in keeping Abby around, even though she irritates us, right?
Yeah, because nobody would want her. You betcha. You take her to the end and you're going to win.
I mean,
hey, everybody
would
vote
for her. Would you vote, I mean, going what you feel right now, would any of you three vote Abby to win $1 million?
Hell no.
No way.
I rest my case.
Hell no. She wouldn't
like,
get one damn vote.
I wouldn't even give her enough money to catch a cab, let alone $1 million.
I might give her a quarter to call Dr. Phil.
Oh my God!
I want to clarify this, okay? And I've busted a joke on Abby here, but I don't know Abby. This is the way she's portrayed on the show or whatnot. I might meet her and think she's the best thing since sliced bread. You know,
I know.
Yeah.
You know what?
We
so
have
I
met many people
recently.
In person that has
There's
been portrayed badly
in
on shows, and I have absolutely fallen in love with them in real life. So I have to, I have to say the same thing. I have. Some of the people, I mean, Shima from Big Brother, Jesse from Big Brother, those are a couple of people that people just absolutely hated.
I
met them both, and they are wonderful people in real life.
I have to go back personally. My very first one that I switched on from Big Brother was, oh, my God, I'm having a senior moment.
Go ahead. To describe, I'll see if I can.
The rat, Ronnie. Hated Ronnie.
Yeah.
When he got voted off of Big Brother, it's the first time I can remember I jumped out of my chair and I fist pumped, I shouted, and I was so happy. Ronnie is such
and I adore Ronnie.
That's like with me with Jesse Camanjo. You know, I saw her on, you know, Survivor Africa, you know, the third one, and I thought she was great. I thought she was hot. I thought she was just awesome. And then I met her in person, and I was rocked. She is awesome. She's hot. I mean, it was just great, you know. But other than her, everybody's been a little different, whether it's good or bad. Everybody's a little different. But she was, like, just dead on. When they portrayed her, she was dead on. I mean, this. Well, I take it back. Tom Buchanan, too. Tom Buchanan's dead on. What you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's so true. We do, as we're watching the show, we do have justifiable reasons to have opinions about these people, but as we've learned since I've been part of this show in particular, the Rad Reality Show, and had these people on and had people, you know, actually go to events and meet them in person, you know, to hear how much different they are in real life, you know, I enjoy kind of not bashing but hating or, you know, disliking the personality I see on their show, but once the show is over, I do switch gears.
I
like loving them more than not liking them. They have to show themselves in a pretty yucky way for me not to like them, because I like to be a fan of the majority of them. I really do.
I know you do.
And that's why I love this show, because I love when I'm able to talk to these people. And most of the time, they're people that didn't win the show. But I've become such a fan of them just because I've gotten to know them on the show and just fell in love with who they were as people. And then getting to talk to them and getting to meet them, you know, over the phone at least, is just such a thrill to me.
And that's what we like to do, is be able to connect people that they have been able to watch on TV and be able to connect them to that person and let them talk to them and, you know, share that connection. And that's what this show is all about, is being able
to
make that connection between the fan and the reality people that you watch on TV.
Exactly.
And
oh, I hope you get Lisa on.
I got to admit, you know, being a contestant on the show and stuff, like, it's just as exciting for me meeting people. You know, I mean, I love meeting fans of the show and stuff like that. And like with Paul right here, I mean, God, he's a student of the game, and I love talking to him. I mean,
yeah, Paul knows the game well. Absolutely.
I mean, he catches the little things, and it's like,
I know.
He'll say, "Did you see that crush?"
Cool.
And I'll go back and I'm looking to see where he saw it. You know, but
it's amazing.
I've been to Australia, I've been to New Zealand, Mexico, Canada, Fuji Island. I've been a lot of places. And one thing I've learned by traveling, you know, inside the United States, or just, you know, and outside the United States, one thing I've learned is people can get along, but governments can't.
Mm.
You don't believe everything the government tells you. You know what I'm saying? It's yeah. like, if you want to ever experience it, go on a cruise ship.
Oh,
everybody
wow.
has a good time. Everybody's getting along. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's because there ain't no government on that cruise ship. You know what I mean?
I've heard so many bad things now about cruises. I'd be afraid ever to go
on
one.
Oh, I know.
Now.
I wouldn't want one to capsize and turn over or anything. But,
awful bugs they have on.
But my point is, you know, being on the show or whatnot, we enjoy meeting the fans and stuff, too. So, I mean, we get just as, you know, excited about meeting new people, too. So, it's like right now, there's nowhere in the United States
you,
I could go. I don't know somebody, you know.
I'm very happy to get to talk to you because I've enjoyed listening to you so much.
Well, thank you.
You're a lot of fun. Really.
Thank
you. Did you guys hear, by the way, Lisa has West Nile?
Yes, she does. I was going to talk about that. Lisa was
yes.
diagnosed with West Nile. Apparently, it's not a real severe case because she's not in the hospital, although she said that she was very tired, and it may take as long as a year for her to get over it.
Do they know how she got it?
Well, it was confirmed that she did not get it while she was on Survivor.
Okay.
Good.
I was going to say, because that's one thing, and that's kind of like a little secret they don't tell nobody, but I'll tell y'all. Or, you know, or other contestants may have told you or whatnot. But they give you medicine to make sure you don't get that. And that's why I wonder when it came out that she had it, I thought, was she not taking her medicine?
No, it was confirmed through the gestational period time that when you get, you know, there's a gestational period from the time that you get the mosquito bite to the time you're able to tell that you have it. And due to that gestational period, there's no way that she could have gotten it from filming on Survivor. She had to have gotten it after she got back and was wherever it is she lives. She was
Texas.
Bitten by a mosquito, I guess, there in Texas, and received a mosquito bite that was infected with the West Nile virus there. And, you know, we found here, even in Missouri, that we have mosquitoes with West Nile. And
oh,
I know
we do, too.
Yeah.
We have out in Kansas, too. We sure do.
Yep. So, you know, it's all over everywhere. Now.
Yep.
So I'm sure that people, you know, want to immediately, their minds are going to go to, oh, you know, she must have got it from, you know, when she was on Survivor.
Well, yeah,
that's
oh,
not
I did.
The case.
I thought that immediately. Absolutely.
Right. That's not the case. She did report, and it was in the report that it must have happened after the fact. It could not have happened while she was filming Survivor. So I was glad to hear that.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm glad to hear Bubba tell us, you know, a little backstory that they do give you medicine for that. Because I'm sure that,
yeah.
My goodness, I've seen some of those people come home with bites just covering
every inch
of their body.
Awful.
Yeah, they give you medicine, you take for it, and then when you're voted out, we stayed in these little huts till we got to go to Australia. And over your bed, they have a mosquito net so you won't get bit.
Wow.
They really take a lot of precautions on that. Now, when you're played, you're doped up on that medicine. I mean, it don't make you drugged up or anything, but you got enough of that medicine in that, you know, it ain't gonna get no virus or anything. So.
Yeah, I mean, when you see on a lot of these episodes of Survivor, all the bug bites, you know, when they show some of their legs and arms and stuff, and then we learn afterwards that it takes months and months and months, even after they've come home, for those even to heal. Obviously, that was the first thought I had, you know, was that she, you know, got bit by a mosquito or a bug, you know, so it's not good to know that she didn't get it there, but anyway.
So
Chris
I
Doherty
wanted to make an
scars
announcement.
On his feet from the game.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I can't imagine some of the sores and the bug bites and the things people have come back with from there.
Oh, they have scars that never go away. They've talked
right,
about it.
Right.
Yeah.
We've heard it on this show. There's definitely scars that come back from being on that show for 39 days.
As well as, and I know you want to make an announcement here, but as well as, you know, like internal bugs that take a while to clean out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some memories that you'd like rather not bring home with you, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's also swimming trunks I don't want to bring back, too. That's Leslie's swimming trunks over there.
You didn't put those on eBay, Bubba?
Hey, want to buy some good
Oh, my goodness. On a better note... I just want to remind everyone, I'm sure everyone is fully aware, that next Thursday is Thanksgiving.
Yay!
Yes.
And we want everybody to spend time with their families, and we would like to do the same. So we will not be having a Survivor Philippines Roundtable show next Thursday. However, we will return the following Thursday, and we will talk about 2 weeks of Survivor in that following show. So next week, we won't be here. We'll be with our families, and we hope you will do the same. Enjoy Thanksgiving. We hope everybody has safe travels if you're traveling. And we hope you all have a very wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving with your families.
What are you doing, Bubba?
So, well, I'll have to eat at my mom's. Everybody goes over there. We have a big, huge dinner there. Big, huge dining room. It's on
a
table that's been in our family for years.
There's always a big dining room, but there's always a little table, right, for the kids?
Our family's so big, we've got five huge tables in our dining room.
Oh,
in my mom's
gosh.
In my mom's dining room, yeah. Yep.
That's a lot of people. You must have a big family.
Yeah, that's right. There's
wow.
a bunch of us. And
then
what we do,
crazy
now,
at your house.
And also we take like our laptop over at mom's and we Skype.
So those that can't
see this. Yeah, we Skype with my son. It's in the Air Force. He's in North Dakota. And we sit him right there where he always sits with the laptop there and we eat and talk to him.
Oh, cool.
He talks
that
to us.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Is it very far for you to travel to get to mom's, or?
No, it's to get to my mom's house. It's about 15 minutes from my house.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I'd like that though. Like, just Jerry, can't you just picture that laptop sitting in his son's spot? That's so
yeah.
Cool.
That's a great story. I love your stories, Bubba.
I do.
Well, Scout, and she said it on the show. She said that she loved me. She has such wonderful stories.
You do.
Yeah.
You have really been such
awesome.
A perfect fit for this show. We have enjoyed you so much. And
well, I appreciate that.
I just can't tell you how much I have just loved your stories and
mm-hmm.
loved how you share, you know, the things that you've brought back from Survivor. It's been so much fun. I just have enjoyed you so much. I really, really greatly appreciate you doing this show with us. Oh, he's great on this show. I love listening to you.
I agree, Kansas. And I know the fans are loving you, too. And so I'm just so happy you're here with us.
Well, Bubba,
one of the things I'm going to be grateful for this Thanksgiving is Bubba on our Survivor Philippines show.
That's, I'm a Bubba fan, too, baby.
You can believe
that.
There
we go. Good deal.
Well, I just want to wish you and your family a great and happy and fun Thanksgiving, and I want to echo what Jerry just said. The Rad Reality Show is a good, unique kind of show, and there are those that fit in better than others, and you are a perfect fit. When Jerry just a bit ago about being a perfect fit, you are a perfect fit for the Rad Reality Show, and I just wanted to echo that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that greatly. It means a lot to me, because sometimes you wonder, you know, how are you going to fit into a show and how's it going to go and stuff like that. And I have a lot of fun. So.
Well, we've gotten great feedback from our fans about you, and they are absolutely loving you. Just Kansas is calling in tonight and echoing that to you live tonight. And I've gotten many fans who have told me how much they love listening to you. And have loved your stories.
And what Jerry said is true. I just want to just make the point is, you know, because the show is recorded in archive, and as Kansas has already pointed out, she may not be able to always be here, you know, live on Thursday, but that people do, you know, listen to these shows in recording. And
exactly.
Yep. So I just wanted to point that out.
Right. We have some people that may listen to them the next day while they're working. I know Pam in Oregon. Hi, Pam. She listens the following day while she's working.
Craig.
Hi, Craig. And, you know, we have many people that listen maybe while they're commuting. Hi, Pepsi Rich. you know, there's many ways that people listen to our show that may not be here with us live tonight, but they listen all the same. So,
say again, Bob.
I said, if I ever have a company and need it advertised, I'm definitely going to holler at Jerry. You're definitely going to get your plug.
Absolutely. And speaking of advertising, I'm going to make an announcement that I haven't made yet. I'm going to let it loose right now. I made my flight reservations. Cherry Garcia is going to Toys for Tots.
Oh, wow.
So I finally made my decision, and I am going to New Hampshire for Toys for Tots. It was a tough decision. I wasn't sure if I was going to go or not. 7 o'clock this morning, and that's, I wasn't like getting up at 7 o'clock. I still hadn't been to bed yet. Just before I went to bed at 7 a.m. this morning, I finally decided, you know, I'm just going to do this. And I got on the computer and made my flight reservations. And so I'm going.
Oh, I'm so happy.
That's awesome.
I want to, this is just a perfect segue because of what you just said, Jerry. So I'm going to do this now. I want to tell everybody, he's not in here tonight, but he's oftentimes here, Chi-Town Joe. If you didn't know, he does a radio show, as he really should with that beautiful voice that he has. But he does a musical radio show every Saturday from 4:30. It's 3 hours long, 4:30 to 7:30 Eastern time. 3:30 to 6:30, as he says, Cherry Garcia time or Central Time Zone. And he just, it's, he really does pick out a lot of great music, and he plays a lot of music, but every once in a while, and the reason I'm bringing this up, you'll hear right now, every once in a while, he'll record an interview that he does with a reality person. And this week on Saturday, he has an interview that he does with Michael Cowboy Ellis from Big Brother. And Michael talks a lot about Toys for Tots in the interview. Joe told me that he'll be airing that interview in the first hour of his show on Saturday. So you want to try to tune in that first hour. And they have a new website. It's you can go to Chi-Town Live's Facebook or check Chi-Town Joe on Facebook. Either one of them you can click on to find the link. But they have their new website is SeacoastInternationalRadio.com. Now, it used to be SeacoastInternationalRadio.Weebly or something like that. The Weebly's gone. It's just SeacoastInternationalRadio.com. And like I said, the links can also be found on his two Facebook pages. Did I leave anything out, Cherry?
I think that ought to do it. Just go check Joe out at 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central. And there is a chat room on that page. Just scroll down and join the chat room.
And I just wanted to get that in, Bubba. We're kind of at the point where we're doing announcements, and you know, we want to make sure to thank you again for doing tonight's show, and enjoyable as always, and look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
All right, have a blast. And,
Bubba, let's try to get Carl or one of these guys in on this show. I've been sort of poking at him, trying to get him to call in. Let's try to get Carl or some of these guys to call in and join us here and share some of their thoughts on this season.
Oh, sure. I think that'd be great. Matter of fact, I'll hit Carl up tomorrow and see if he'd like to do it.
Remember, everyone, we won't be here next week for Thanksgiving. We'll be here in 2 weeks from tonight, and we'll be talking about two shows instead of one. Bubba, thank you so very much for being here. I hope you have a wonderful, blessed Thanksgiving with your family. And please tell them thank you so very much from us for sharing you with the Rad Reality Show.
Hey, no problem. Y'all take care. Have a great
night. Nice talking to
you,
Bubba.
Nice talking to you too, sweetheart.
And happy Thanksgiving. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, hon. Oh, my goodness. I just think he has been such a wonderful addition to this show. I absolutely adore him.
And Kansas, anything you need to promote?
just I enjoyed talking to you guys.
Aw, we love you, Kansas.
Talk with you too, sweetie.
So much love, and I'm thankful for you guys.
Well, we're
You're
thankful
really
for
beautiful,
you.
You're really beautiful, lovely people.
We're so thankful for you. We love seeing your number pop up, and we always know that you've got something great to say. You're
Aww,
not going to call
so
in
sweet.
And just, you know, be a quiet voice on the air. You've got something worth saying, and we love seeing you come up on the air. I love seeing you there.
I love talking to you guys.
I'm hoping I will never see your area code but from somebody else, because every time I see your area code, I say that's Kansas. I don't even pick you up. I just say, okay, that's her area code. And one of these days, I'm going to think that we're going to pick somebody up and say, hi, Kansas, and it'll be this deep voice and saying, yeah, that's
Ooh.
Right, I'm calling Kansas.
This is Joe from Wichita.
So we're in trouble if we get somebody in your area that starts calling in, because we're going to call in Kansas anyway.
Well, Cherry, you got my home phone number now, so please give me a call.
I sure will. I'll probably do that. I don't know how early you go to bed, but either
I'm a late nighter like you, girlfriend.
Oh, good. Well, maybe I'll call you,
you see,
after the
you
show
and I
or
are
tomorrow.
So similar.
Oh, my goodness.
You and I are so similar, it's not funny. Our lifestyles are similar. Our husband, everything. You
That's
and I
scary.
Are silly.
That's
it's
scary.
Cool.
Okay, I thank you again, Candace, and I'm trying to kind
thank
of wind the show down a bit, and I know we have somebody that's interested in a little drop that we're going to play. And
right.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, sweetheart.
You have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I will call you, Candace. You take care, babe. Happy Thanksgiving.
Take care.
All right, hon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, hon. We do have a drop that Paul put together, and masterfully so, I might add. And I think we have somebody listening for this right now, so let's do this.
I also want to say beforehand that at one point she said, that was awful, and I promised her that I would be able to edit it so it didn't sound awful. And
it doesn't at all.
I'm tooting here a bit, but I promised her, and hopefully I delivered okay.
It sounds beautiful. I heard it earlier. Here we go.
Hey, guys. My name's Persephone. I'm one of your 2013 Maxim's Hometown Hotties finalists, and I had a blast here on the Rad Reality Show. Make sure everybody checks me out on Maxim.com.
Now.
That was perfect.
Yeah, she did a great job, and I had to kind of scold. We had so many people on the line. One of these days I'm going to mute everybody before we do that. But I had to say, okay, everybody online, be quiet right now. But at any rate, we want to tell people that don't know who she is. I'd love to say her. I wish she had said her last name because it's a beautiful last name.
I can say it. It's
good.
Persephone L'Espérance.
And she did say that that was French. Was that correct?
Yes. I love that name. I'll never forget that name. I think it's so beautiful.
It is beautiful. It was like, with a name like that, she was destined to be beautiful, and she is a sweetie. She's in the Maxim Hometown Hotties contest that she's made it to the top 10. And I don't know how many, you know, hundreds or more that enter, but she has made it to the top 10. And she is from our own Boom Boom Band's hometown in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. And Ben did post the link to her. If you are just listening, you just need to go to the Maxim website, look for the Hometown Hotties contest. And she is the one top 10 person that is from New Hampshire. If you don't know how to spell Persephone, then you can just look for the one from New Hampshire. But her first name is spelled P-E-R-S-E-P-H-A-N-I, Persephone. And I've watched her videos. I've listened to and she was on the show. And she is just, she's just a hometown girl. She's beautiful, but she's just a down-to-earth hometown sweetie, and that's my
it's
thing.
It's Persephone with an I-E, Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry. And you can vote. There's only a couple weeks left, but you can vote once every 24 hours. So vote as many times as you can. I just remember late night. I get to about 2 in the morning and go, oh, it's time for me to vote again, you know? So.
So, yes, make sure everybody goes and votes for Persephone. And you can actually change browsers and vote.
Yeah, hopefully nobody is listening and changes that, but yeah.
You can go from Google to Internet Explorer, and then to Firefox.
Yep.
And then to your cell phone.
Ah, good. Yeah. See, I don't have those. I don't have the smartphone thingies. But yeah, vote as many times as possible. And
vote as many times as you can per day for Persephone. And she's also on Twitter at Persephone L.
And if she answers you on her Facebook or her Twitter, it is actually her. She's not one of these people who has some fake person taking over her account and acting as her. She handles all of her own stuff. So if she answers you, it's Persephone. She's a really cool girl, and she takes care of her own stuff. So if she says hi to you, it's really Persephone saying hi. She's a sweetheart, and we want to try to get her to the top to win this thing. So please take a moment and vote each day. It only takes a second. It's a really easy process. You just click on the Hometown Hotties and on her name, and it says vote. You're done. You don't have to sign into anything. You don't have to sign up to anything. It's the easiest process ever. So please take a moment each day and just place your vote. It's just a couple of clicks, and then you're done. So we want to try to get Persephone to the top of this for the win. She is definitely a beautiful girl and deserves to win this. So we're trying to get her
once more, a happy 50th. The guy's getting old. Man, he's getting old. I don't know how he keeps going. That's
Louis.
Louis Stervato today turned half a century. I hope he listened to this, because when he gave a shot at me for being 60 earlier, that just still sticks in my craw. No, but happy birthday, Louis Stervato. I bet he's having a great time tonight. I'm so curious to find out where his girlfriend is going to take him, you know, because she was going to surprise him for his birthday. And of course, our survivor who we had on Manic Monday a couple Mondays back, Dawson.
Absolutely, Miss Dawson.
Has a birthday today as well. There's one of our friends I haven't seen in a while, BB fan, Matt BB fan. It's his 21st birthday today. So
woo!
I wanted, if he happens
21.
To listen, wish him a happy birthday. And then we've got some other shows coming up. And I'll throw that to you, Jerry. Ben says 60 is the new 47. Thank you, bud.
Well, we have from our Thursday show, we go to our Sunday show with Mr. Louis Stervato. This Sunday, we're going to have someone sitting in for Louis, and I'm not exactly sure who that's going to be yet, because Louis is having a full weekend to celebrate his 50th birthday.
And yeah, that's old.
So we're going to have somebody sitting in to take Louis' place just this weekend for our The Amazing Race second pit stop show. But we will recap the Amazing Race on Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. From that show, we move to Manic Monday with Michelle Costa. I keep waiting. I think you're going to jump in on top of me there, Paul, and say something. So I stopped for a minute there. And Michelle Costa and Manic Monday is on at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. And I'm not sure about this week's guest. We have a guest that's going to be coming up. We talked about bringing him on this Monday, but this is such a big guest that we are going to take a few weeks to promote this show before we bring him on, because this guy, I'm just going to say a few things about this guy. He has been on the Jeff Probst Show, the Today Show with Matt Lauer, Canada AM, Sons of Anarchy,
That's just a few of the things this guy has been on. This is a huge guest, and we're going to take a few weeks to promote this so that we have a big crowd for this show. So I think we may set this show up for December 10th, and so we're going to bring in somebody else for this Monday, but make sure you mark your calendar for the 10th, because that show is going to be a biggie. Like I said, this one, he's been on so many shows. This is a...
Because he has an unbelievable, amazing story.
Just incredible.
Jody, is that real? She's not that old. Is she really? Wow. Welcome.
Jody. You just made Paul's day.
Yeehaw!
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, so after Monday...
Happy Thanksgiving.
We want to say happy Thanksgiving.
Show?
Pardon me?
Are you going to do a Tuesday show?
At this point, I'm not sure yet if I'll be starting it this week or not.
Right.
I've decided to go to Toys for Tots. I've got so much to plan on. Get my Thanksgiving dinner set here at home and plan on going to Toys for Tots. I may put that off until after the first of the year now.
All right, but you said after Monday's show, and I thought, well, what could be after Monday? We're not doing a Thursday show, and that's why I thought maybe that's what you were hinting at. So
no, I may put off starting up. I am considering starting up the Tuesday show. We had someone leave, jump off after only four shows and jump over to another show. Farewell.
Why do you want to do a Tuesday show?
Because
Terry?
There are many shows that we are not covering, and I covered them with Ron, and I still would like to cover them. I think they're important, and I still like to cover those shows.
You're not talking about Real Housewives being important, are you?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, the MTV shows like The Challenge, and there's a lot of shows. Top Chef, there's so many shows out there. Couples Therapy. There's a lot of shows that are out there that we are not covering.
Paul doesn't watch those shows, so Jerry has to do this on her own. She's got to find somebody else.
That's why I'm waiting until after the first of the year, and I've got to find the perfect fit for my Tuesday show. I'm not going to have somebody else come on and do what the last person did and take my kindness and slap me in the face with it.
You'll be in the evening too, correct?
Yes, it will be a show at the time that Ron and I used to do it, basically the same time as this show, around 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. So that's my plan. I just want to find the right person, somebody who fits with the Rad Reality Show. And... will show the same, you know, kind of respect and kindness and gratitude and that kind of thing that we show to them. And so I want this person to be, you know, somebody who will fit with me and will, you know, be around for a while. And that's right, Jody. That's right. Thank you very much, Jody. So that's where that stands. And
other than that, I hope that everyone has a perfect, wonderful, safe, blessed Thanksgiving. Be with your families. Appreciate them so much because you never know what tomorrow brings. We've all learned that so well. And as you share Thanksgiving, remember all the things that you're thankful for. And I'm going to be thankful for our fans. And I'm going to be thankful for the people who helped me with the show. And I'm going to be thankful for the people that listen to our podcast. And I'm going to be thankful for Ron. Always thankful for Ron. There's a lot that I have to be thankful for. So, Gabor, you're so sweet. I'm going to be thankful for Gabor. And so as you have this Thanksgiving meal, just remember all the wonderful things that we have to be thankful for. You guys are so wonderful. You're our Rad Reality family, and I adore and love each and every one of you. If you can hear my voice, I love you. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you all for being here with us tonight. We're going to close the show with Ron, as we always do, because this is his show. And make sure that you come back on Sunday to join us again. In the meantime, Paul, do you have anything else?
No, I'm good.
Okay. We're going to close the show with Ron, as we always do. Here he is now.
I want to finish off with a song. I really felt like it was a great show, and I really do appreciate everyone that did listen, and everyone who called in. Thank you. Love you guys.
Get on home, it's late. We've been gone too long, too bad. We should have checked our time, can't phone. We done spent every dime, it's late. We're about to run out of gas, it's late. We gotta get home fast, can't speak. We're in a slowdown zone, oh, baby, look at that clock, why can't it be wrong? We got started just a little bit late. Hope this won't be our last day. Look up. Is that the moon we see? Can't be. Looks like the sun to me. It's late. We've been gone too long. We got started just a little bit late. Hope this won't be our last day. Look up. Is that the moon we see? Can't be. Looks like the sun to me. It's late. We gotta get on home. It's late. We've been gone too long.
And just because we have the time, I'm going to play one more little song just for you all.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, well, you would see the biggest gift would be for me, and the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
I want to thank you.
Thank you for being a friend.
I want to
thank you for being a
I'm
thank you all for being a friend to the Rad Reality Show Network. We all love you so much. Take care. Have a great and blessed Thanksgiving. Good night, everyone. Take care. God bless. Be kind to each other. Good night.